بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. نبدأ شيخ إن شاء الله. إن شاء الله.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. فبادئ ذي بدء أشكر الإخوة القائمين على هذا المؤتمر اختيارهم هذه الرسالة المباركة للإمام المجدد أبي عبد الله محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى، فهي رسالة عظيمة نافعة في بيان فروقات عظيمة بين الموحدين وبين المشركين، فكان لابد من أن نتعلمها وأن نتدارسها. فنبدأ على بركة الله تعالى اليوم وغدا إن شاء الله عز وجل، وأسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يعيننا على حسن الإلقاء، وأن يعينكم على حسن الترجمة، وأن يعين الإخوة الحضور على حسن التعلم والاستفادة.
The Sheikh Hafidullah, we are welcoming everybody again, alhamdulillah, to the second day or the third day of the Islamic Conference Online 2020. And we welcome our dear Sheikh Dr. Muhammad Al-Tahiri, Hafidullah, from the country of Kuwait. And the Sheikh, may Allah bless him, has begun by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and invitation upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that, the Sheikh Hafidullah, he said, the topic that has been chosen for today's lecture and tomorrow's lecture, inshallah, same time at 2:30 UK time, 5:30 is Kuwait time and Saudi Arabian time. The Sheikh Hafidullah said this has been chosen as a good topic, which is al-Qawa'id al-Arba'a, the four principles of shirk of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sheikh said that he aids us to explain it and to complete it in 2 days, and also to aid us in regards to translation and understanding for everybody that he is. Fadal Sheikh.
هذه الرسالة بدأها الإمام رحمه الله بالبسملة، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وهذا اقتداء بكتاب الله عز وجل، فإن الله سبحانه كتابه مبدوء بالبسملة، وكذلك نبي الله سليمان عليه السلام كتب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنه من سليمان، وكذلك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في صحيح البخاري في حديث أبي سفيان من رواية ابن عباس قال بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من محمد رسول الله إلى هرقل عظيم الروم. فالبدء بالبسملة في الرسائل سنة. نعم.
The Sheikh Hafidhullah, he went on to mention, he said this principles, the four principles of Qawaid al-Arba'a of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, it is a very important text that the Imam, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the author started with Basmala, meaning the statement, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the Basmala is found in the Book of Allah, meaning the Quran, at the beginning of the Surah. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned it as well in many of his writings to other leaders. We see that also Prophet Sulaiman, as mentioned in the Quran, he began his letter with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, innahu min Sulaiman, meaning in the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate, to from Sulaiman, and it was sent to the queen. And then in Bukhari, from the hadith of Abi Sufyan, narrated from the way of Ibn Abbas, that the Prophet ﷺ, when he sent a letter to Hercules, the emperor of Rome, he wrote, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, it is from Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, to Hercules, the emperor of Rome. And therefore, Basmala is a sunnah in the teachings and tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. So the Shaykh.
ولا بد لطالب العلم أن يفرق بين البسملة والتسمية. فالبسملة قولنا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وأما التسمية فقولنا بسم الله فقط.
And therefore, a person as a student of knowledge has to distinguish between the بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم and بسملة. In a sense that when you say the Basmala, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and when you say Bismillah, that is different. You always say Bismillah. For the
first. لا الأول بسملة الثانية تسمية.
التسمية صلى الله عليه وسلم. The first one is Basmala and the second one is تسمية. تسمية Basmala is to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and تسمية is just to say Bismillah only. صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أحسن. والبسملة سنة في موضعين لا ثالث لها بحسب الاستقراء.
And basmala is a sunnah in found in two places, and there is no third place for that. And with deduction and analysis, you will be able to extract them. The Sheikh will mention them now.
الأول عند قراءة القرآن والثاني الموضع الثاني عند كتابة الرسائل.
The first place is when you read the Quran. The second place you do Bismillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when you write messages and letters to others.
ما عدا هذين الموضعين ففيهما التسمية بسم الله عند دخول المسجد اللهم صل على محمد. اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك، بسم الله عند اللبس، بسم الله عند الأكل، بسم الله عند الشرب، جميع المواضع التي بلغت أكثر من 30 موضعا.
The Shaykh Hafidhahu Allah went on to say, as for Basmala, then as we mentioned, it is found in two places that it is sunnah to do. When you read in the Quran at the beginning, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and when you're writing letters, you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As for the tasmiyah, which is to say Bismillah only without Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, then that is found, for example, in when you enter the masjid, you say Bismillah only. Then you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, and then you say Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik, Allah open the doors of mercy for me. You also say it when eating, when drinking, when doing almost up to 30 actions that are mentioned as part of the tasmiyah sunnah to say Bismillah only for the shaykh.
وهذا هو السبب في كون الإمام رحمه الله لم يثني بالحمد له في هذه الرسالة.
And that is why the reason the author Imam Muhammad Abu Hab رحمه الله in this text he did not bring Alhamdulillah after it. Because he just wanted to start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and bring Bismillah only. So he did not bring Alhamdulillah, which is the statement to say Inna Alhamdulillah, or Alhamdulillah, which is to say Alhamdulillah itself.
مع أن الجمع بين البسملة والحمدلة جائزة عند أكثر العلماء لأنها على سنن كتاب الله عز وجل.
Even though to bring Basmala, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and Alhamdulillah, Inna Alhamdulillah, or Alhamdulillah, Nahmadu, and so on, to bring both of these texts together and both of these introductions together in writings, it is encouraged and it is something that the scholars have agreed, majority or many of the scholars have mentioned and agreed upon as well, and they have liked it as well. So even though this is like the author رحمه الله did not bring it and mention it.
قال رحمه الله داعيا لكل من يقرأ هذه الرسالة ويتعلمها أسأل الله الكريم رب العرش العظيم أن يتولاك في الدنيا والآخرة وأن يجعلك مباركا أينما كنت وأن يجعلك ممن إذا أعطي شكر وإذا ابتلي صبر وإذا أذنب استغفر. فهذه الأدعية التي شملت ثلاث جهات هي من المنافع العظيمة التي يحصلها طلاب العلم من معلميهم.
The Sheikh Hafidhullah, he said, then the author, rahimahullah, he began by making dua for the student of knowledge and for the one who memorizes and learns the text by saying, I ask Allah the most merciful and the most generous, because he said the Al-Kareem, the most generous, the Lord of the great throne, to take care of you and to protect you in this world and in the hereafter, and to make you blessed wherever you may be, and to make you amongst those who are grateful when provided, when they have been given something. He's making dua that you become grateful when you Allah gives you something, and to make you from those who are patient when tested, and to make you from those who repent when they fall into sin. The Shaykh Hafidhullah made a comment. He said, these three beautiful du'as, they're comprehensive. They gather so much khair and blessing for a person and benefits. And these benefits are benefited for the student and the learner from his teacher, because the author here is making dua for the students that are learning and the people that are learning this book. And also the teacher, when he makes dua for the student, he gets many benefits like that. Fadhil Sheikh.
الدعاء الأول يتعلق بما يحتاجه طالب العلم في علاقته مع الله، وهو أن يتولاه الله عز وجل في الدنيا والآخرة. ومعنى تولي الله عز وجل العبد في الدنيا والآخرة أن يحبه وأن يعينه ويسدده ويوفقه. فإذا حصل التولي من الله عز وجل والولاية من الله بفتح الواو، فهذه من أعظم الأمور المقوية لحال العبد مع ربه.
The Sheikh Hafidhullah, he said the first things that the author rahimahullah mentioned here as a dua, he said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the heavens who is above the throne subhanahu wa ta'ala, to take care of you, and which is classified as wilaya, meaning to protect you and to guide you and to guard you and to take care of you in every sense, to protect you from every sense. And if a person has this wilaya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nothing can happen to him and nothing can of harm can be subjected to him as well. So the Shaykh was making a dua for the person with this amazing dua that he protects the person from every harm. For the Shaykh.
الأمر الثاني حال العبد مع الناس. فإذا كان العبد مباركا أينما حل، فمعنى هذا أنه متخلق مع الناس بالأخلاق الحسنة، لا يرون منه إلا ما ينفعهم علما وعملا وقولا ومشاهدة، وهذه علامة كون العبد مباركا. يبشر. المقطع الثاني من الدعاء متعلق بعلاقة العبد مع الناس، وهو كونه مباركا أينما كان. وعلامة هذه البركة أن الناس يستفيدون منه علما وعملا وقولا حسنا وسمتا.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah went on to say, so the first part is the relationship between the servant and his Lord, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect him and guard him. The second part is the relationship between the abd himself, the servant, with the others, with the people. So Allah here, the Shaykh is saying that he makes you mubarak, make you blessed wherever you may be, wherever you go, and blessed in everything that you do. And the reason and the benefit of that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the people benefit from this person once this dua becomes accepted from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, benefit from his knowledge,
from his actions, from his mannerisms. So the person will be blessed amongst the people, and also he will be benefited from the people themselves. Fadlashim.
وَلَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مُبَارَكًا بِفَتْحِ الرَّاءِ حَتَّى يُبَارِكَهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا يُبَارِكُهُ اللَّهُ حَتَّى يَتَوَلَّاهُ وِلَايَةً خَاصَّةً.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the author here, when he mentioned that you will become mubarak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah on you. And this barakah will only happen until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of you in a special, unique way. And this barakah will only come to existence and happen until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cares for you and takes care of you and protects you and guides you in a specific, unique way that will be guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then this barakah becomes manifested and this barakah becomes active amongst the people so they can benefit from you. Fadl Shaykh.
وبينهما تلازم فمتى ما كان العبد مباركا بفعله وقوله وعلمه وعمله حصل الولاية ومتى ما كان محصلا للولاية كان مباركا.
And the Shaykh Hafidhullah went on to say that the barakah and the wilaya, meaning that you get blessings as well, and you be mubarak and blessed in everything, and at the same time you get protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taken care by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it works together. They are working together hand in hand. You will only become mubarak in your action and blessed in your actions, your speech, your knowledge, everything that you do, until you get wilaya and protection and guardianship from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the wilaya does not happen until also you get barakah. Once the wilaya happens, you get barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one supports the other.
والأمر الثالث أو الدعاء الثالث متعلق بحال العبد مع نفسه. متعلق بحال العبد مع نفسه أي بمعنى ما هو منهجه في حياته مع نفسه، كيف يتعامل مع ما يكون حوله من أمور الدنيا.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah mentioned, he said, as for the third part of the dua, it is talking about the relationship between the person and himself. What is his relationship and methodology in his everyday life, in his life, how he deals with matters that he is in regards to his actions, his behavior, the way that he is representing himself on a daily basis. So this dua, it's kind of a dua for the person, and it helps him with guidance of himself.
ولنعلم جميعا أيها الإخوة أنه ما من إنسان إلا وهو محاط بأحد هذه الثلاث، إما أن يصيبه النعماء وأحيانا البلاء وأحيانا الذنوب والزلات والأخطاء، فكيف يتعامل مع هذه الأحوال الثلاثة؟
البلاء والزلات شيخ، والثالثة
والأخطاء.
أسأل الله عليك. The Shaykh حفظه الله mentioned that the person will be, when he's talking about himself, and this dua is where the Shaykh, he said that you will be you make repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you fall into sins. This is dealing with some of the trials and tribulation that you go through, some of the mistakes that you might slip on, some of the mistakes that a person might commit. So this helps you rectify all of these three things: bala, trials and tribulation; zallat, kind of slip-ups that happens to a person and mistakes; and akhta, general mistakes as well that a person might commit.
أظنك ذكرت الثلاثة خطأ، وأنا ما أعرف إنجليزي، بس أظن هكذا الثلاثة: النعم والبلاء والأخطاء.
نعم، حاضر إن شاء الله شيخ، أستأذنك إن شاء الله. الصوت الصوت أحسن عليكم. أستأذنكم إن شاء الله. الصوت الشيخ أوكي؟ أوكي.
مسموح لا بأس.
أحسن الله عليكم. دقيقة شيخ لأن الصوت يتكرر، في صوت يتكرر إن شاء الله. جاي صوت صوت لا يتكرر.
لا بأس لا بأس.
هناك تكرار
هذا من الملل.
نعم شيخ إن شاء الله أنا سأذنكم تعودوا نقطة النعماء إن شاء الله حتى نكمل إن شاء الله عليكم.
نقول ما من إنسان إلا وهو يدور على هذه الأحوال الثلاث، إما النعماء وإما البلاء وإما الأخطاء.
نعم. The Sheikh Hafidhullah said that there is no human except that he revolves around these three things. That a blessing happened to him, or trials and tribulation happened to him, or he falls into mistakes. Either one of these three has to happen to a person. Blessings and trials and tribulations and also mistakes. Father Sheikh.
فَإِذَا كَانَ فِي النَّعْمَاءِ شَاكِرًا وفي البلاء صابرا ومع الأخطاء مستغفرا منيبا فهذا قد أدى حق نفسه مع الله عز وجل.
The Shaykh حفظه الله says, as for a person that he is in ni'mah and blessings, then he should be doing shukr. As for the person that is in trials and tribulation, then he should have sabr and patience. And as for the person that he has mistakes, then he should be a person that makes istighfar and a person that makes inaba and returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he does these three in the three conditions of blessings and patience and also mistakes, and so, therefore he asks for forgiveness, then he has done what is needed and more as well.
قال الإمام فإن هؤلاء الثلاث عنوان السعادة. ومعنى عنوان السعادة أي الطرق الموصلة إلى السعادة وأبواب السعادة وعلامات السعادة.
The Shaykh حفظه الله mentioned that the author رحمه الله when he said that these three things being when you get a blessing you thank Allah. When you have trials and tribulation, you become patient. When you have mistakes, you make istighfar and tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The author said that these three things are classified as the core of the sa'ada and happiness, the signs of happiness. The Shaykh said that these are the path and the way to happiness. They are the things that lead you to happiness, these three things. They are the gates of happiness, and they are also the main ways and path that it can guide you to happiness.
إذا كان هذه الثلاث عنوان السعادة فأين حقيقة السعادة؟
If these three things are the keys for happiness, then where is the reality of happiness?
نقول حقيقة السعادة في العبادة والطاعة، ومكان السعادة الحقيقية الجنة، وأما في الدنيا فالسعادات نسبية وليست مطلقة.
The Sheikh Hafidhullah, he went on to mention, he said, as for the reality and the truth about the sa'ada, then it's manifested and found in ibadah, worship. And also, sa'ada can be found in worship and it can be found in this dunya. It kind of varies. It is in different levels. It's different percentages. So depending on what you do, the more closer to Allah, and the place of this sa'ada is Jannah.
وأكثر مشايخنا على أن الضمير في هؤلاء يرجع على الشكر في البلاء وعلى الشكر في النعماء والصبر على البلاء والاستغفار في الذنوب والأخطاء.
So the Sheikh حفظه الله said, as for what the author said in قواعد الأربع, the four principles, he said, as for those three, he's talking about shukr and talking about sabr and talking about as well istighfar, which is being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being patient with calamities and making istighfar when making sins. The scholars, Sheikh, mentioned that they are referring him back to these two things, and specifically where being patient and specifically being repenting and having istighfar.
قال الإمام رحمه الله اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته. معنى اعلم أي تعلم, فعل أمر بمعنى تعلم, أو فعل أمر بمعنى تيقن, والتيقن طريقه التعلم.
The Shaykh Hafidh Allah, he said, then the author said, no, may Allah guide you to his obedience. This word, i'lam, and this word, no, it is an imperative verb, meaning it is a command from the author. He's saying to you, learn, have knowledge. And knowledge is yaqeen, being certain of something. So learning can be gained by having yaqeen of the truth and having certainty of certain matters that you need to learn.
قال اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين. وإنما ذكر تعريف الحنيفية لأن الكل من المسلمين واليهود والنصارى كلهم يزعمون اتباع إبراهيم, لكن حقيقة من هو المتبع للحنيفية؟ هو الذي عرف الحنيفية أولا لأن معناها أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah said, then the author Rahimahullah, he said, know that the Hanifiyya is the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that you worship Allah, making the religion purely for him. The author here brought the word Hanifiyya to clarify to you what the Hanifiyya means. And he mentioned specifically Prophet Ibrahim's way and Prophet Ibrahim's path, because many people claim to follow Ibrahim and claim to follow the way of Ibrahim, which is called the way of Hanifiyya. Muslims, Jewish people, the Yahud, the Nasara, the Christians, all of them claim that they're following Ibrahim and they're following this way of the Hanifiyya. But none of them will know what exactly it is until they understand the Hanifiyya in its truth and its reality. And then they will be able to follow it correctly.
وقد جاء في التوراة الأمر باتباع إبراهيم عليه السلام كما جاء الأمر فيه في الأناجيل, وكذلك جاء في القرآن واتبع ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah said, and this following of Ibrahim alayhi salam, a command that came in the Torah of Musa, the Old Testament, and it came in the Injil of Isa alayhi salam, and the other holy books as well of the other prophets, the New Testament.
And it also came in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and follow the path and the way of Ibrahim, who is Hanif, who tread the correct path and way, and he wasn't from those who are mushrikeen, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran.
لا بد أن نتيقن أن الحنيفية ليست مجرد علم ولا مجرد معرفة ولا مجرد نسبة وانتساب، بل الحنيفية الحقيقية هي عبادة الله وحده لا شريك له.
The Sheikh Hafidhah Allah said, and we have to know with certainty that Hanifiyya, this correct path, is not just knowledge, having knowledge about it, and just not knowing about it and not doing anything else. Rather, the true Hanifiyya and the correct way of following the Hanifiyya, the correct path, and the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is that it is by following, by doing correct ibadah, and following the teachings of this way, and being a person that worships Allah alone without associating any partners.
كما قال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدوني. فهذه الآية فيها التنصيص على أن وظيفتنا هي عبادة الله عز وجل وحده لا شريك له، وهي الحنيفية التي كان عليها إبراهيم عليه السلام ومن قبله من الأنبياء والمرسلين ومن بعده من الأنبياء والمرسلين إلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، خلافا للمحرفين والمغيرين.
The Shaykh Hafidhah Allah went on to mention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions in Surah Al-Dariyat, Ayah 56, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ، that we did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship us alone. This ibadah, this is the actual core of Hanifiyyah. This worship and this tawheed is the actual core of Hanifiyya that is meant. The Hanifiyya of Ibrahim, the path and the way of Ibrahim, the path of the other prophets as well, from the first of the messengers all the way to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is their way, not to go against it or to go to, against their teaching, like what other people do with changing the books and changing these teachings of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. So the Hanifiyya is the way of these prophets, the correct way, the truth, which is that we worship Allah alone without associating any partners to Him.
ولهذا نقول إن الله عز وجل لم يخلقنا لمجرد أن نعرف أنه موجود أو أنه الرب، بل خلقنا لنعبده سبحانه وتعالى.
And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us just because He wanted to found us and just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to create something. Rather, He created us so we can worship Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to associate any partners to Him. So there is a reason behind our creation, not just as a mere purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to do for no reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure from that.
ولهذا قال الإمام فإذا عرفت أن الله خلقك لعبادته، أي عرفت معرفة يقين ومعرفة علم ومعرفة صدق أن الله خلقك لعبادته، فتأمل يا عبد الله، هل أنت قائم بهذه الوظيفة أو لا؟
الشيخ حفظه الله said that the author of القواعد الأربعة شيخ محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله said, so if you know and have acknowledged that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you for His worship, if you came to know this knowledge and you became acknowledged that Allah created you for the reason of worship, you came to know this through knowledge, through certainty, you have certainty that Allah created you for this worship, you have truthfulness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you for this worship, so you follow it, then you will contemplate and you say, have I done this worship? Have I committed myself to this worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me for?
إذا تعلمنا وتيقنا أن الله خلقنا لعبادته، ما هي هذه العبادة؟ هل هي العبادة اللغوية أو هي العبادة الشرعية؟ ولهذا قال الإمام فاعلم أن العبادة لا تسمى عبادة إلا مع التوحيد، أي أن العبادة الشرعية لا تسمى عبادة عند الله إلا مع التوحيد، وأي عبادة خالية عن التوحيد فهي كعدمها.
The Sheikh Hafidhu Allah went on to say, then the author, when he spoke about worship, he came with worship not in its linguistic form, but he's trying to tell us this ibadah, you have to understand that obviously there is a definition that is linguistic and there is definition according to the Sharia. So the definition that he brought, the Imam Rahimahullah, is saying to you, it is the Sharia kind, that this ibadah that you do is not called correct ibadah unless it is accompanied by tawheed. So the true ibadah has to have tawheed with it. And therefore there is no correct ibadah without tawheed. If there is an ibadah that you do and a worship that you do and it doesn't have tawheed, then that's not correct ibadah.
إذن العبادة مع التوحيد، أي إنما تكون عابدا وعبادتك مقبولة إذا كنت عبدت الله وحده لا شريك له. فمن يصلي لله ويصلي لغير الله ما عبد الله. من يحلف، لاحظوا الآن، من يذبح لله ويذبح لغير الله ما عبد الله عز وجل مع التوحيد.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah went on to say that here, when we understand that the ibadah is linked to tawheed, the ibadah is linked to tawheed, and the worship is linked to tawheed, it means that it has to be purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ibadah, meaning that a person does not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless his actions are accompanied by tawheed. He does an action and he singles that out in ibadah. His salah, his zakah, his sacrifice. When he sacrifices, he doesn't sacrifice for other than Allah, rather he sacrifices for Allah alone.
معنى هذا الكلام أن بين العبادة والتوحيد تلازم في عرف الشرع.
And that's why it means that in the definition between ibadah and tawheed, there is a link in regards to the sharia. There is a link in regards to the understanding of the sharia.
قال الإمام رحمه الله تعالى كما أن الصلاة لا تسمى صلاة إلا مع الطهارة فإذا دخل الشرك في العبادة فسدت كالحدث إذا دخل في الطهارة.
And the Shaykh Hafidhullah went on to say, the author then says that if you recognize that when shirk enters a worship, it corrupts it. Shirk, when enters a worship, it corrupts it. And it destroys all of the action of the doer. And like how, for example, just like salah, it cannot be called salah except with tahara, purification, wudu. So, for example, if salah doesn't have purification and wudu, it can't be called salah. Same as the ibadah. If the ibadah doesn't have tawheed, then it will not be called ibadah because it is wrong.
وقوله رحمه الله إذا عرفت أن الشرك إذا خالط العبادة أفسدها وأحبط العمل وصار صاحبه من الخالدين في النار. عرفت أن أهم ما عليك هو معرفة ذلك.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah then went on to say that the author said, and once you recognize that shirk enters a worship, if shirk enters into a worship, it corrupts that worship and it cancels out all of the actions that you have done. And then sadly, the person who does this, then he will be subjected to the hellfire. And he will be living in the hellfire eternally, forever. Once you realize this, this is the most important matter. Then you have to know that you have to learn this. It is important matter for you to learn it and understand it, because otherwise you might fall into shirk.
الشرك الأكبر إذا دخل على توحيد الإنسان أفسد كل عباداته. والشرك الأصغر إذا دخل على عبادة معينة أفسدها بعينها.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah went on to say, so therefore major shirk, if it enters the ibadah, major shirk, if it enters the ibadah, then it destroys the whole ibadah, all of it, and everything that you have done as well. Now, but if, for example, a minor shirk enters into the worship of somebody, then it only destroys that specific ibadah that you have done. That specific ibadah that you have done, major shirk will annihilate and remove that, but minor shirk. Major shirk will remove all the ibadah that you have done, and it will make it go to destroying. All the actions will be destroyed. تفضل شيخ.
ولهذا لما ذكر الله أنبياءه وخلص رسله قال ولو أشركوا, أي على سبيل الافتراض, ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يفعلون, ما كانوا يصنعون. نعم.
The Shaykh of Allah said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that about the prophets who are the best unique out of all of the people, if they were to make shirk, if the prophets were to make shirk, then all of the actions will be destroyed. And these are the prophets, the best of the people. All of the actions will be destroyed.
الآية في سورة الأنعام ولو أشركوا لحبط عنهم ما كانوا يعملون. وقال في حق محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم على سبيل الافتراض لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك. فغيره وغير الأنبياء والمرسلين من باب أولى أن الشرك الأكبر يحبط جميع عمله.
And that's why also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as an example, not a reality. And if you were, O Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, were to commit shirk, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him from that, then all of your actions will be gone to vain, and all of your actions will be destroyed. And this is just as a message for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. How about the rest of the messengers, and how about the rest of the people? Then the example will be more stronger for them.
إذن أهم ما علينا هو أن نعرف ما هو الشرك الذي يحبط العمل. قال الإمام لعل الله أن يخلصك من هذه الشبكة وهي الشرك بالله الذي قال الله فيه إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah went on to say that once you learn this, once you understand these issues, the matter of tawheed and the matter of shirk, then the Imam has made dua for you, saying to you that I ask Allah, he purifies you and cleanses you from the traps of shirk and from the traps of this dangerous thing that you might fall. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives not shirk. He gives everything except shirk. Any associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, he does not forgive that. But he forgives everything else. Anything else that a person commits, he will forgive it except shirk to whom he pleases. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah An-Nisa. Naam shirk.
ومن هنا ندرك خطورة الشرك من جهتين. إذ لا مثيل للشرك. فإنه يحبط كل الأعمال ولا يغفره الله أبدا إذا مات الإنسان عليه.
And therefore we have to understand the danger of shirk, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when once we understand the danger of shirk, is that it is something that destroys all actions that a person does, and at the same time as well, it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive if a person dies upon that shirk and he doesn't repent.
ومعرفة الشرك إنما تتم, قال الإمام, بمعرفة أربع قواعد, بمعرفة أربع قواعد ذكرها الله تعالى في كتابه. إن شاء الله عز وجل نبينها في لقاء القادم غدا. ونكتفي بهذا القدر، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
And the Sheikh Hafidhullah finalized by mentioning that the author Rahimahullah, he tells you to know shirk. And he said knowing shirk comprises of knowing four principles and four rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are will be mentioned inshallah, these four rules to understand the dangers of shirk will be mentioned. It's the Sheikh Hafidhullah said in tomorrow's lesson inshallah at 2:30 UK time, 5:30 Mecca time, and the Sheikh computed that.
السلام عليكم
هل عندنا الله وبركاته عندنا وقت لسؤال شيخ بسيط
اعتذر لان الان سيؤذن
الان اذن خلاص احسن الله اليكم نفع الله بكم شيخنا بارك الله فيكم